The Ringer reality TV podcast is the home for all things unscripted TV. The feed will feature challenge recaps with Johnny Bananas, Bachelor in Paradise recaps from Amelia Wedemeyer, and a weekly survey of the reality TV landscape with Juliet Littman and Callie Curry, and much more coverage across the reality spectrum from Survivor to Below Deck to Selling Sunset. Check out the Ringer reality TV podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
All right, it's a Prestige TV podcast. My name is Bill Simmons. I'm here with Joe House. Curb Your Enthusiasm, the 11th season. 11 seasons. First episode popped last night. House, for some reason, these episodes are 40 minutes now. I'm not complaining, but Larry just said, fuck it, I'm supersizing these.
I'm a very good man. I'm a good man. I'm a very good man, Bill Simmons. Not just 11 seasons. 11 seasons across 20 years. We've had Larry David in our lives for 20 years, the longest running series on HBO. And I will say, for me, we came out firing on all cylinders. I know we're going to go through it in depth, but I just want to talk about the very, very, very beginning, because the way the show began, I was nervous. It made me nervous. It made me uncomfortable. I felt like we were headed in a direction that was atypical, an uncommon direction for the show and for Larry David. It felt like a fever dream. I felt like we were in a dream. And then lo and behold, bang, we flip into exactly what transpired, which was a dead person in his pool.
Yeah, I was thinking either a fever dream or he had like a COVID break-in, like somebody breaking into his house for supplies or something.
Right.
You're right. It was an unsettling start. And then all of a sudden he's with Jeff and it's like, all right, well, where are we going with this? The big picture theme, it seems like, is Larry getting old.
Yeah.
It seems like he, and this has been 2 years since the last season, so... You know, he looks older, especially like, you know, HBO Max, when you have 20 years of episodes, same characters, same settings. And especially for people like us who will watch season one, season two. And you're just, those are the people frozen in time, almost like athletes. When you have like a young athlete and you see an athlete 20 years later, you're like, oh, you've changed. Larry does seem like an old guy at this point. He embraced it. He leaned into it. And it seems like that's going to be the theme of this season is like, am I slipping? Am I losing a little bit, right?
Well, and yes, the broader themes of death and mortality across. I mean, it was this episode was replete with it. The episode began with a dead person, and then we were treated to
the fake funeral.
The fake funeral, Albert Brooks. God, speaking of a senior moment, I couldn't get Albert Brooks out. Albert Brooks, like one of the plot lines revolves prominently about Albert Brooks wanting to host his own funeral so that he can have everybody say nice things about him while he's still alive. Then we talk about, you know, Larry feeble. He's losing, you know, some of his virility.
And well, then he walks into a window, plops. JB... What is JB after the wine plops? And then he walks into the window. He's like, he's got one more. He's got one more before he goes to the nursing home.
That's right. You two feebles. You can't have three feebles.
Yeah. So I guess that's going to be the theme, because then you have another character who had, he might have dementia. He might not. It might be conditional dementia. Seems it like whenever it suits him, it's dementia. But
it could be like Ben Simmons' mental health.
Right, right. It's whatever it suits him in the moment, it works. Susie called him out on it and was like, you gave me a lifetime guarantee. I'm getting my diamond back. And that's how that went. So the biggest surprise for me was Albert Brooks, because he's Super Dave's brother. This was Super Dave's territory. This was one of the things he had carved out. There's, depending on who you talk to, I'm not sure how close the brothers were. I think it was pretty competitive. I've heard various stories on this, whether they didn't talk at all, they barely talk, stuff like that. And the general consensus is that Albert Brooks now being in Curb in a Funkhauser-y type role, Super Dave somewhere, is like, you got to be kidding me. What the hell? This is my turf. You're on my turf. So it was really interesting that Larry played that card. I was surprised.
It felt so successful, though. It felt yes. so natural. They have an unbelievable rapport. It's obvious. It feels like we're going to get a ton of Albert Brooks this season. I'm here for it. I mean, the way the first episode ended was the two of them dateless because of the circumstances right. that befell each of them over the course of the episode. At an orchestra performance, a symphony performance where they play the Curb Your Enthusiasm music. It was really
for
wonderful.
For 3 minutes.
Yeah, I loved it so much. Those two sitting together and they were enjoying each other's company.
So do you think Albert Brooks, he basically, because it's almost like he moved more into the Richard Lewis role than the Marty Funkhauser role. Because Larry was never really friends with Marty. He was more like, it was like a family type foil situation. Lewis was his buddy, his really close friend. So I don't know, did he trade out Richard Lewis and Super Dave for Albert Brooks and maybe threw in like two first rounders?
Maybe so, because Albert Brooks had Larry speak first at the fake funeral and yeah. Larry immediately makes Albert regret it because Larry will not play along with the stupid conceit that and pretend that Albert is dead. He makes 5 jokes about Albert being alive and the fact that everybody's going to see him to great enthusiasm out of the assembled audience.
Well, it makes me, I guess Richard Lewis is fine. I was Googling him to make sure because it seemed like that would have been the Richard Lewis part.
Sure.
Richard Lewis would have had a funeral, but Albert Brooks moved in. But basically all the same stuff he could do with Richard Lewis, like his older friend, Jewish, neurotic. He could basically get all the Richard Lewis stuff done. It's just with Albert Brooks, one of like the great comic minds of the last 50 years. So he was like, probably fuck it. I'm going to mix it up.
Pretty good. I'm happy to have it. I mean, it was a welcome surprise. I deliberately did not do any research whatsoever before the episode because I just wanted yeah. to be surprised by
Me too.
The faces
I didn't read
and the
anything.
Names. Yeah. Oh, good. I'm so glad.
I saw somebody had the poster of all the faces and I'm like, I'm not looking at it. I don't want to know anything. I knew John Hamm was in it because I accidentally saw a commercial, but other than that, I saw nothing. So as usual, we had 5 stories. Usually there's 4, but we have 40-minute episodes. The big stories were Larry pitching a new Netflix show about Uncle Mo. So now we have Uncle Mo on Succession and we have him on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I wondered about that. God, it made me nervous. I thought there was some pedophilia that was yeah. going to come out as part of it. Maybe there still will be.
It's a rough run on HBO for the real life Uncle Mo's. Just somebody who just has an Uncle Mo. He's like, what did I do?
Yeah.
I'm getting murdered left and right. So he's pitching a new show to Netflix. So that was one. I guess that was the A story. The B story was the fences around the pool and this break-in he had. And then the death and the extortion plot. So that's a B yes. story. The C story was kind of COVID hoarders, which
Wonderful.
They lay all the groundwork for it, come back to it. The D story was friends with dementia and Larry getting old, basically, and all of those pieces. And then the live funeral. So we had an A, B, C, D, and an E plot. What was your favorite out of those 5?
The F plot, which is Leon. I mean, how because this is going to be a recurring thing. I was, you know, I always enter a new season like this wondering what kind of a dose am I going to get of my beloved characters, right? Because
yes.
I need Leon. Are you? It's been well established between us as we've talked about this show over the years. We just, you know, can't get enough of him, and he is a foil for Larry. It's just a majestic interplay between the two, the two cultures coming together, and Leon as a truth teller in the show, and once again playing a magnificent role in that respect. The scene of Leon and Albert Brooks telling Larry that him walking into the glass meant that he was not going to have sex with Lucy Liu. That was wonderful. I couldn't have enjoyed it more. We're going to have Leon. Leon found himself a replacement for a trip to Asia that he paid for with a GoFundMe for a campaign.
For Megan, whoever.
Yeah. Mary Ferguson.
Mary Ferguson.
He was dating a woman named Mary Ferguson. She walked into a glass window. She's feeble. She's out. Glass door, glass window, whatever it was. He had to kick her to the curb. And he interviews a whole series of potential replacement Mary Fergusons. And in the brilliance of the show and Curb, they run simultaneously Larry's audition of the role of a young lady in his Young Larry Netflix program that has to go to the extortionist's daughter, right?
I forgot to mention that the show is called Young Larry. I thought that was so fucking funny.
Young Larry. We have Young Rock and Young Sheldon, right?
Who would buy Young Larry? I wrote as favorite scenes. One of the scenes I had was JB, Larry, and AB all together. And my single favorite part was with JB spoof called Albert Brooks AB. That fucking killed me. Yeah, right, AB. I just love the three of them in a scene. Like, to me, that could have, if we can do that every once an episode for 10 straight episodes, I'm in.
It feels like that's possible. I mean, the way that everything's set up. I want to share with you something that really affected me. And it is this character, Maria Sophia. Maria Sophia F's me up. There is something about her physical presence, her gesticulations, the way she is approaching this, the actress is approaching the character, however she's inhabiting this character.
The bug eye kind of thing she does.
It's
great.
It's effing me up, Bill Simmons. Yeah. It's making me fearful. I can't tell if she's doing a faux sexuality. Every time she speaks, I'm worried that she's going to say something. It just is very disconcerting, the Maria Sophia experience.
You're worried about ulterior motive in some way with her.
Everything. Everything about her concerns me.
Yeah, it doesn't bode great. And also, it seemed like during the audition, he did have some really good actresses. So now he probably cast somebody who's going to screw up Young Larry, and we won't get to see Young Larry. I hope we get to do like a table read for Young Larry. I'd like to see fake scenes for Young Larry. Young Larry, it's so stupid. The best scenes, we mentioned the JB, Larry, and AB all together. Larry confronting dementia guy. It just comes out of the gate in 6 minutes. He's in the Brentwood Convenience Mart, whatever it is. It just goes in and those guys just start screaming each other because we had to have that.
Let me ask you this. Like, the prevailing sentiment that I encountered on the social medias afterwards, folks are on Larry's side with this. Like, you know, he can't be completely in the wrong, Larry. The guy owes him $6,000 and it's been 6 months. Like, on the face of it, like no communication whatsoever from the guy. Like, did the dementia just occur in the 6 months between the time they went on the golf trip and when Larry encountered him again?
Or do we think the guy had dementia?
Because Susie basically called him out.
I think that could have been a subplot of maybe for a future episode, as if this guy's actually faking it for whatever reason. It was a classic Curb scene though, because, you know, super uncomfortable topic. Larry goes in full speed. He's kind of half right, but still shouldn't be as aggressive as he is. It gets turned on him, and somehow he's the bad guy in a situation when he was actually in the right when he approached it. And we've seen this how many times in 100 Curb episodes or whatever.
Well, and in the brilliance that is Curb, of course they have another encounter. The guy tells him, the next time I see you at the club, I'll have a check for you. So Larry bumps into him at the golf club, walks up to the guy, is like, yay, great to see you. Last time we saw each other, you told me you stroked me a check here at the club. We're seeing each other. Can we just resolve this? And the dude's like, Larry, I wrote you the check. I gave you the check.
Well, part of me wondered if Larry, maybe they're setting up that it's actually Larry who has dementia.
Oh no, Larry was his third feeble. He does have to go into the nursing home. He's misremembering.
Well, that's the thing because first he remembered what the guy was wearing. So I was like, well, that theory's wrong. But then near the end, he said, didn't I compliment you for your driver? I said it was Ben. The guy's like, no. And then Larry's like, oh, maybe it was somebody else. So then I'm wondering if this whole season is under the lens of Larry actually might have onset dementia.
Oh, shit. I hope not, because this is why I was unsettled by the very beginning. Like, the cinematography has him, like, in bed and hearing something, and it felt very dreamy. And when he walked downstairs, there is a mist that's rising from the pool, and the whole thing felt like, dreamy. I will tell you this. I did see a quote from the directors. I think it's the director, showrunner. I'm not sure. Jeff Schaefer. Yep. He says, this season, like other seasons, it's a 1,000-piece puzzle made up of 10 100-piece puzzles. Mm. And he promises that everything will come together in a nice, completed puzzle of pettiness and awkward vengefulness at the end. But if each, think of that. 10 100-piece puzzles building up to a 1,000-piece puzzle, we're going to go in a lot of different directions before we get to a conclusion that makes any sense, right?
Well, we had some of our favorites. We got our guy, JB.
Thank God.
He's already on an MVP pace right now. We got some great Jeff. I always like when he sides with Larry against his wife, but never in front of his wife. Like that, because that was one of the other best scenes I had with Susie Seaplop, which was really funny.
And all time.
And leading to Larry walking into the window, which just made me laugh my ass off. That was my daughter's favorite part. And then Lucy Liu just being horrified. I also love that Lucy Liu is cast in it. Looked great, by the way.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you said it.
What a comeback, Lucy. Hadn't seen her in a while.
When we were talking about not doing any research in advance and just wanting to be surprised, she was one of the top surprises. And I was my socks were knocked off by the whole thing. I was so happy to see her.
You could tell me any age for her and I'd believe it. You could tell me she's 70. You could tell me she's 40.
I agree.
I mean, she was in Charlie's Angels 20 years ago. I have no idea, but she's just timeless.
Yeah.
But the C-pop was great. So we got some good Susie and we got some good Jeff kind of playing both fences with Susie and Larry. We didn't get Cheryl, your favorite in this episode. One of your favorites.
Well, we know we're going to
see her.
She's
lingering. We know we'll see her at some point.
Yeah, we know we're going to see her.
And then obviously we didn't get Super Dave because he passed away in real life, but they've now replaced him with Albert Brooks, which Fantasy was saying on Twitter last night was Curb just like, that was like their Durant in 2016 Warriors moment where they're like, we're adding Albert Brooks. I think we could sit here for 20 minutes and try to think of better people to add to the show than Albert Brooks. And it would be hard to come up with like four other people.
I agree. I mean, he just hits so many aspects of what the show over the 20 years, you know, the identity of the show. He has like all of the core elements that are crucial to the success.
Well, you had the fake funeral scene when he gets outed as the COVID hoarder and then he's on the balcony and they're all yelling at him and he kind of like sneak throws it in as they're leaving. He's like, come back, I have flu shots. He just like threw that in.
And he might get them all back with the flu shots. Who knows?
That closet was so funny. I was dying. There was so much Purell in there.
the paper towels and the bath tissue was what did it for me.
And then the other funny scene was just J.B. Smoove interviewing the Mary Fitzgeralds and settling. Did you ever date a Laker?
Mary Ferguson.
Did you ever date a Laker? No. Did you ever date a Clipper? I didn't date a Clipper. That's the answer.
That's great.
And then she's in and it seems like God only knows where that one's going to go.
The clincher was him saying, you know, say the two of us end up on a deserted island and, you know, things go.
I thought you eat me.
Yeah, I would let you eat me. Bam, that's it. All the interviews are done.
So the funniest bits, the young Larry thing was great. The whole thing with the name Don Jr. And then tied into Netflix. So Netflix doesn't really look like that. They made Netflix look like Dr. Evil's compound. the lead creative executive named Don Jr. So you could read between the lines on that one. They even take some John Jr. shots. Then he's in like the $25,000 suit in his office in his chair, just like sitting back nodding like a TV character. And then he's got his creative team, which checks every box.
Oh, spectacular.
Sitting on the couch, saying nothing other than just laughing. And then they accept this pitch in 5 seconds. So I feel like Larry was trying to do a drive-by shooting of Netflix pretty overtly, I felt
like. Yeah, right. Oh, that's interesting. Because of the assembled group that was in the executive's office.
No, just like that, like Don, like specifically Don Jr. Like that that type of executive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretending that he cared about a diverse team, didn't listen to them at all.
Right.
His name's Don Jr., so he has the same name as Trump. He listened to the pitch and greenlit it in 2 seconds, like just a jackass. And it seemed like I felt like that scene, Larry is trying to say a little more there. The seat plopping was just a really good bit that's happened to all of us. The dropping the kids off at the pool conversation.
Another good one. I was surprised by that.
Went a little too long, but I like the whole what bathrooms are on limits, off limits, I thought was great.
It's an important conversation that does resonate. You have to have, in that kind of circumstance, a bathroom that's a permitted bathroom or a set of permitted bathrooms, and then at least one that's completely off limits to anybody else. I totally, that makes perfect sense to me, and I happen to subscribe to that.
Yeah, I know with nephew Kyle, we definitely have a bunch of rooms off limits.
Yeah, you have bathrooms, multiple rooms that he's not allowed to be in. That
not even non-bathrooms are off limits then. and then the bit of losing your sexual appeal for a dumb reason I thought was pretty funny.
Well, it wasn't a dumb reason. Like, the way he banged himself on the head and then fell down and was like, you know, moaning. I get it. I'm with Lucy on this. Like, she gets him a glass of water when they're at the funeral. I just want to make sure you're in good shape for when you go up to do this.
She kisses him on the forehand on the end of the date. All of it was caregiver. Great.
She's a caregiver. Yeah. She transformed. I want to ask your opinion of something.
Yeah.
The one plot line that, again, it's very disconcerting to me, this Maria Sophia character.
Yeah.
Why do you think that Larry, upon receiving the envelope with the obvious extortion plot inside of it, which is, you know, here's the ordinance circled in red and then scribbled in red, let's talk, and here's the address. Why is it that Larry himself physically drives himself in his car, arrives at a taqueria, and not only does he like size the whole thing up, he goes right in and he's looking for whoever it is that is obviously going to extort him.
And he's like on the defensive.
Why is Larry doing any of those things? Why didn't he take the envelope and burn it? Why didn't he give it to the police? Like, what is it about Larry that we've learned over all these years? Why is he the one going right into the taqueria and confronting the extortionist?
I think he absolutely would have brought Jeff if you're staying true to the show. I also, that rule of the pool, the rule is if you have kids, at least that's my, I might be wrong, but this one, my wife was like, that's not a rule. The rule is if you have kids in your house, you have to have a fence around the pool. But Larry doesn't have kids, which he said. And they were like, no, you have to have it for, but either way, you get something like that. You're going to either the police or you're going to Jeff, something, you know, you're doing one of those two. Here's the other thing though. The guy broke into his house.
Yeah.
He committed, it could have been armed robbery. We don't know if he had a weapon, but it was at least robbery.
Well, and if he stole anything worth at least $1,000 or caused $1,000 worth of damage, that's a felony punishable, by at least a year in prison.
I guess the answer is it's curb. They needed something, they needed a launching pad for some sort of running plot, right? Which is going to be this young Larry thing. And this somehow, even though it was perfect and it got greenlit in 2 seconds, it still has this now Achilles heel of this person who shouldn't be on the show.
I mean, the conceit is wonderful. And I really don't mean to be like,
no, I'm with you.
How can we create the perfect connection and connect all the dots for a logic, an internal logic of this that makes sense? I mean, it's freaking curb. So it's okay that it doesn't all make sense and doesn't all square with whatever the local ordinance is in Santa Monica or whatever. It's fine. I'm willing to look past all of that stuff. I just felt like there was an opportunity at the front end of the extortion to spend some time building out the extortion.
The exasperation of it. Yeah, I get
it.
All right. Two different MVPs before we go. MVP for somebody who is actually on the cast, which I think we have to include Albert Brooks because I think he's on the show now.
Incredible. Incredible.
So who is your MVP? My MVP is JB Smoove for this episode.
Yeah, it's Leon, of course. Like I said, I was so gratified for him to play such a prominent role.
Great, Leon. All right. Non-cast MVP. I think it was What was Mary? What's her last
Maria
name?
Maria Sophia.
No, no, the one JB
picked.
Oh, Mary
Ferguson. Mary Ferguson.
I think Mary Ferguson who got picked to go on the Asia trip was my non-show MVP.
The first Mary Ferguson is your...
No, the second one. The one
the second Mary Ferguson.
Who dated the Clipper. Who didn't date the Clipper.
Well, you know, we're going to see her again. So she's got a lot. The ceiling is still... We haven't seen her ceiling yet, which is just terrific. Thank God.
I love the energy. And Lucy Liu, I think, gets special honors for something. I don't know what the honors are. She played the part pretty weird. Like, she was pretty cold.
Well, I think cold after. Like, it seemed...
But even before, she's like not... It was kind of one of those things that was like, wow, why are these two together?
I would have liked the backstory. It would be funny to hear, like, behind the scenes, here's the backstory of how Larry and Lucy Liu got to be, yes, it's together.
Well, because the thing with Larry David, he got divorced, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. But, you know, he's out there. Like, he gets attractive ladies. Women love Larry David.
With good reason.
It is completely realistic that Lucy Liu is somebody that he would go on 5 dates with.
Well, for me, I can't give the non-cast MVP or the new character MVP to Maria Sophia until I make peace
what her agenda is.
I'm really worried. She bothers me. So my new character MVP is Mr. Dementia. Dennis Zweibel. Zweibel the jeweler. Yes, yes, yes.
I don't think we see him again. I think he was a one and done. I think
I would love him as a recurring character. The dementia is important.
I also know you love any scene when there's at the country club and people are getting ready to play golf.
That's a fact. That it was all.
It felt like, I don't know this for a fact, but the two guys who come in at the end and he's like, oh, I thought I complimented your driver. I don't think those are real actors. I think those are people Larry plays golf with. So if you look carefully, if you watch it again, watch those two guys. The one guy on the right, like, doesn't say anything and has complete deer in the headlights. So it's clearly Larry's golf buddies, would be my guess. But I enjoyed it nonetheless. All right, Joe House. First episode of Curb in the Book. Listen, let's be honest. Deep down, every time they go back to the well with a new season, we get a little worried that it's going to be the Jordan on the Wizards kind of... You know, like, oh, they stayed a season too long. I did not feel that way last night. Now, you didn't either.
No. It was a tremendous showing. I really feel like we're set up for some terrific storylines. There weren't even only a couple, like, genuine laugh out loud, belly laugh moments from last night. I mean, it wasn't even like a full hit parade of laughs, but it delivered the goods. It set us up for so many delightful paths that we're going to go down.
All right. This podcast... I don't know if we're doing another episode too. Maybe we just do mid-season rewards. If next season is amazing, we'll pop back next week. But we're monitoring. You and I are monitoring this Curb season.
We're on
And
it.
We're here for reactions when warranted. This podcast was produced by Sasha Ashal. We are coming back maybe next week, but at least with the mid-season awards on the Prestige TV podcast. See you with Succession on this pod with Sean and Joanna on Wednesday. See you then.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.